I am a giant among giants. I am a giant among giants. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I am a giant among giants. We have a tendency to look at our life and say about our life that we are just poor little us. Poor little me, you know. I'm only human. Have you ever said that? I'm only human. Have you ever said that when you made an excuse for doing something silly? I'm only human. Yeah, how often we do that. Why do we say that we're only human? We say that we're only human because we want to make an excuse for not being perfect. Now, let me define what a giant does. A giant thinks giant thoughts. A giant thinks giant dreams and imagination. A giant lives in a world of giants. A giant lives in a world of divine people. A giant is so far above the human attitude, the giant doesn't even know the human attitude exists. The giant would never say, I'm only human, because the giant doesn't know what a human is. The giant is divine. The giant is magic. The giant is marvelous. The giant is all that is good. Now, how do you want to be a giant? I have talked with a lot of people who have played the game of giant in other areas, and they said, I am superior to everybody. I am better than everybody. I am wonderful, and I'm fantastic, and I'm glorious, and I'm this and that. And I say, oh, that's nice. And by saying that, they put themselves out in left field. They put themselves away from their world. They put themselves away from everything because they say that they're a giant, unique, separate from everybody else. Now, that doesn't make for harmonious living. That doesn't make for harmonious living. I have this question to ask of myself as often as I ask it of anybody else. I'd never ask it of anybody else, so I really never ask it myself. But I ask this question. Why am I here? Why have I chosen to come in a human body and live on a relative world and play this game? Okay? You say, well, it's kind of a silly thing. But now, I should give names of current people, but you know Clark Gable? Do you know Myrna Loy? Do you know Lucy
Ball?
Lucille Ball. Name a few people.
Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn Monroe, of course. Yes, yes.
Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart. Yeah. Come on, shoot a couple more up here. Okay, now, these are all actresses and actors. Now, Marilyn Monroe was a good actress, and she played in normal roles. And she was a very charming girl, but she wasn't special. She wasn't special. And then they began to emphasize her bust and emphasize her figure and emphasize her body with very tight dresses and dresses that sort of emphasized her womanly figure until she became the sex symbol. And when she became the sex symbol, then she still was no better than a B actress, but she was a sex symbol, and she was in all these movies and became very popular and became the hero of all the men's bedrooms and bars and stuff like that, you know. And so that was her thing. Now, what kind of a woman was she in private life? Well, in private life, she was a wise woman. She invested her money wisely, and she built up a great estate. She owned two or three restaurants, and she owned a number of businesses. She was a very, very successful girl in all these things. But she was not successful in love, because people came to her and wanted to use her. They just wanted to have this pretty body and enjoy it. And they didn't really have the relationship. So what she did, she tied herself up with some sports athletes and things like that who had fame in themselves and didn't need to have her fame. But that didn't help at all. Joe DiMaggio and a few of the others, it didn't help at all. So she went to drugs. And she began taking drugs because she wanted to play that role. And, of course, eventually it killed her. Well, now, here she was, an actress, and a very accepted actress, not the top actress, but an accepted actress. And she would go on stage, and she would always play the dumb blonde. She'd play the dumb blonde. And she wasn't the dumb blonde, but men thought she was dumb and accessible. And so that made her life as a human being very undesirable, because she planted the seed that she was a floozy. She was available for any man's sexual enjoyment. And that's not what she wanted to do. Perhaps she didn't even enjoy sex. Who knows? But the thing is, she was a good businesswoman. She had many other good aspects about her. But she allowed herself to play the game on Earth as a floozy in the movies. In the movies, she was a dumb blonde. You see, as a person, what would you say, as a human being, in her world of the movies, she was a dumb blonde. And so she paid the price of being this dumb blonde. And yet, she wasn't dumb. She was always very smart. She was always very crafty. She always, in the movies, would end up doing some marvelous thing right, you know. But she was always the woman for some man. She was always the girl for somebody. Now, why does she play that role? Why did she play that role? Why did she play the role of being the floozy? Why didn't she play the role of being Miss Magnificent, Miss Intelligent, there are some movie actresses, you know, and they are just so spotless in their attitude. They do not have sex outside of marriage. They do not do this. They do not, and they're honorable, and they're so forth. There are some people are just real good, you know. They're really good. And that's the image they play. Now, Sylvia comes up with Humphrey Bogart. Well, what did Humphrey Bogart do? Humphrey Bogart was really a very loving, sensitive man. And in the movies, he played the gangster always. Now, all the world thinks of him as a gangster. They think of him as a terrible crook and a terrible guy, you know. But he was really a very nice fellow. But the world thought of him that way. So, did he live a good life? No. He lived a life of dualism. Unfortunately, happily, it didn't kill him, but he lived a life of dualism. And so every time he'd meet people, they'd say, "Hello there, Humphrey Bogart." And he would like to have somebody say, "How do you do, Mr. Bogart? How are you today?" With respect and love, rather than with his movie persona. And this is what many other people do. Now, John Wayne was always the cowboy. And that's how we always knew him. And John Wayne was not really a great cowboy. He was okay, but he had a very nice home life. He lived in a very luxurious Newport Beach and had a boat that he liked to be on, and he developed an orphan's home in Mexico for orphan children, and he did another one in the Arizona desert and a few other things. He just did many marvelous things, but nobody knew about that. Nobody knew about that because he did not want his name attached to those things, so that people would see John Wayne, the big cowboy, you know, and then John Wayne is doing this. And the home was itself. And you see, he put integrity on that, but he didn't put integrity on himself. And Yehudi Menuhin, he was a great violinist, and he played beautifully. And he, too, had a home in Newport Beach. And I had the opportunity to know all these people, so I was close to them. But the thing is, what did he do? in his home. His home was music. Every room of his home, he had his violin. Every place he went, out on the porch, he had his violin. He had people working for him, and they would make sure these things were all in proper order and everything. But his music was his soul, his life, his passion. And that was the main thing that he enjoyed in this world. And many others are like that. Now, Yehudi Menuhin was known as an outstanding musician and an outstanding composer and an outstanding director of music. But music was his life, and that's what he's known as now. He's a giant in the music industry. John Wayne was a giant in the movie industry because he kept the two separate as much as he could. And this is why what giants do. Giants live in their world. Now, the truly great giant is the one-pointed giant whose personal life and whose business life and whose professional life are all the same. Do you know any people whose personal life, business life, professional life are all the same? And I would say probably not. Because you know the merchant who has the store, and you go in and you talk to him about his store, and he waits on you and sells you things and so forth, and that's one man. And then what about the merchant who is in the store, and the little boy comes in there and he says, "I'm hungry," you know. And the merchant says, "Well, does your mama give you something to eat?" "Sure, sure, but I'm hungry." And you know, and the merchant says, "That kid's hungry. Come on. He's coming to the back room here." So he took the kid in the back room and said, "Sit down there." And then he made him a couple of sandwiches. Cheese sandwich and a ham sandwich, and gave him a glass of milk, and then afterwards gave him a piece of cake and said, "Okay, now go home." And so the kid went home, and it's true. The kid came from a family where he didn't have much to eat. And the merchant understood that. Now, the merchant's not going to give you a penny off the price. That's what the price is, and you pay it. But if somebody comes along who has a need, like the child who is hungry, and perhaps he was hungry only because the rest of the kids in the family ate faster than he did. You know, it's not that the family didn't necessarily have the food, but he just didn't get his share that he liked. But the merchant had another attitude, another persona to himself, another beingness of who he was. Now, when you add this all together, what does it spell? It spells a real person. Like I told Heinz, I said, think about it. What is the most magnificent woman in the world? Most magnificent woman in the world is a woman who likes herself and does what pleases her. So, she wants to be the CEO of a big company? Good. She wants to be a wife, so when she comes home, she puts aside the CEO and she acts like a wife. She loves her husband, loves her children, loves her home, and pays attention to it and enjoys it, and gives it her full attention. She wants to be a good wife, so she learns how to be loving with her husband. She wants to be a good homemaker, so she takes courses in making food and in taking care of the home and doing things, and et cetera, et cetera. So can she be all these things? Yes, if she really wants to. But if she says, "Well, I'm not a housewife. I'm a CEO. I'm running a corporation there. We'll hire some maid to do this, and we'll hire somebody to do this and do that." Well, then she's not doing anything. Because what is she not putting into her house?
Love.
Her love. She's not putting her love in there, and that has to be something that you do personally because you really care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you gotta scrub the floors and wash the windows and make the meals and stuff. It means you have to serve the meals. You have to make sure that everything is done to your specifications and not be bitchy about it, you know, but just be loving. And you see, a giant is a person who loves himself and lives according to the attitude that is most beautiful for themselves. And each one of us are giants. And we can be giants down, or giants up, or giants this way or that way, whatever we want. Now, do you really want to be a giant? That's what you are. Was Marilyn Monroe a giant? In many ways. And unfortunately, the ways tugged at each other rather than harmonized. We want to train ourselves to harmonize all of the attitudes of our beingness so that as a giant, we are a harmonious giant and we are a blessed giant. We are a giant who is going to accomplish the goals and the desires of our heart. Are you the giant? Are you a giant among giants? I am. And I like myself. And I don't care whether anyone else in the world likes me, because I like me. So therefore, everyone else in the world likes me, because I created everybody else in the world. So therefore, since I like me, everybody else in the world likes me. And there's no getting around. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. There's nothing that anyone can say that'll disturb that situation. Now, do you like yourself? Do you like your world? Are you the creator of your world? Are you the creator of everybody in your world? Are you the creator of Heinz? Are you the creator of Heinz, whole and perfect right now? Are you the creator of Gregor, whole and perfect right now with everything in his life? Are you the creator of Gregor having a great trip to Switzerland?
Yes.
Right. Are you the creator of, who else is traveling? Somebody else is going someplace. Me, maybe.
From Switzerland. You
know, huh?
That lady from Switzerland coming, visiting America. That lady from Bern who goes to Delaware.
Oh, yes, she, and that's right. She's taking her two boys by another marriage to visit her two boys with the husband of her previous marriage. And she's going to go and share with them. How wonderful. That's wonderful.
I think so, too.
I think that's just a fantastic thing. Sure, the husband and wife decided to go different directions, and that didn't mean the kids couldn't all be loving to each other. And I take umbrage when people say that this is my stepfather or my stepson. And I say, no, this is your father. This is your father. And when Gregor married Rochelle, and Bailey is Rochelle's daughter, Bailey now is Gregor's daughter. So Bailey has two daddies. She has Gregor, and she has her other daddy. Not the real daddy, because the real daddy is the daddy that is taking care of her and loving her. And so if both daddies are taking care of her and loving her, that's it. Now, just because the zipper is down on their pants and one of them created the child, that doesn't mean that they are more their father than somebody else. I mean, sex is the most stupid thing in the world. A child chooses a channel to come forth into this world. And the channel doesn't necessarily have to be a workable channel. It can be an unmarried woman. And she can have no man around. And so you say, who's your daddy? I don't know. I never saw him. I haven't had any idea. Mother never told me about him, you know. Well, surely you had a daddy. Well, probably. I didn't. No, I didn't. I never had a daddy. A daddy is somebody who cares about me and who is working with me. Somebody had a relationship with my mother, and I was born, but that doesn't make him my daddy. That only makes him what would you say?
Producer.
by what?
Producer.
Producer. Producer. Yeah, there you go. My producer. Producing the play. But the producer of the play usually puts more into it than that. But, hey, that does happen. That does happen. And when wartime comes, many children are produced, and the father goes to war, and they never see him again, you know. And he gets killed and does all those silly things. And what a strange way. So, really, anyone who is a father is really the father. Anyone who loves you is the father. And that might be the whole world. And you know why I say that? Shirley Temple. Shirley Temple, as a movie actress, as a child, she was the apple of every family's heart. Every mother adopted her as their daughter. Every father adopted her. My daughter's just like Shirley Temple, you know. My daughter, but no, it's not that she can act, not that she can do it. She's just a beautiful girl, a good girl, a nice girl, the kind of girl that I respect and love and honor, a giant among girls, you know. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Now, can you see how your attitude changes about what babies are and what girls are and what people are? Wonderful. I'm a giant among giants. Hi, Shirley. maybe we'll see another one of your movies one of these days again. So, we love you. And we love each one of you. So, my dears, have a beautiful morning. Get ready for our spiritual retreat lecture that we'll be having in half an hour or so. And the topic is ways I develop confidence in my thought and spoken word. So that's coming up next at 10 o'clock. So be sure to join us at 10 o'clock today and be part of our wonderful family, our wonderful program, and know that you can have as much fun as we do if you just let go and be yourself and have fun. I love you.
Love
I love you.
You.
I love you.